Hey, thanks everyone for coming and more importantly staying after a long day of sessions. This presentation really focuses on one of three manuscripts that are part of my dissertation, and I'd be really interested in your feedback, particularly on the analytic approach used here. So hopefully we have time for a discussion at the end of the presentation. Okay, and I do have a disclosure to make. I'm required to state that the research described was done using the Program and Training and Technical Support of Positive Action Incorporated. And my advisor, Dr. Brian Flay, his spouse holds a significant financial interest in Positive Action. She's actually the developer of the program. And this research was funded by the National Institute on Drug Abuse, so we thank them for their support. Just a real brief outline. Today I'll go through a brief introduction and background on social emotional and character education, and also the specific aim of the study and the research question for the present research, and a quick orientation on what social emotional and character development education includes, and an example of one program, the Positive Action Program, and the prior studies done on that, as well as the methods, results, and limitations and conclusions of the present research. So a brief background: many youth outcomes are both positive and negative, are influenced by similar protective and risk factors. And there's an increasing amount of evidence that indicates there's a relationship between behaviors, suggesting that behaviors do not exist in isolation from one another. So numerous types of school-based programs in the past have sought to target health or problem behaviors. However, programs may have had limited results because they have targeted one specific problem, and they tend to address more proximal predictors of a behavior, not the more distal influences that can have an impact on many different important outcomes. So in an effort to tackle these limitations, there has been a movement in recent years towards more comprehensive integrated programs, and these programs address multiple co-occurring behaviors, and they also include different components, not only a school or classroom component, but a component that looks at family involvement and also tries to encourage community involvement. And overall, these social, emotional, and character development programs tend to include this more integrated approach. And one of these programs currently being used nationally is the Positive Action Program. And the primary concentration of many of these SECTE-related programs is to bolster positive behavior. And the aim of the current research was to examine if positive behaviors mediated the effects of the intervention. So based on a positive youth development perspective and the theory underlying positive action, that is where there's a link between increased positive behaviors and a decrease in negative behaviors, the following hypotheses were proposed. One, that students attending PA intervention schools would report significantly greater positive behavior as compared to those students attending control schools, and that also positive behavior would mediate the effect of the PA intervention on substance use, violent behaviors, and voluntary sexual activity. So just a real quick review of social, emotional, and character development programs. There was a recent review done by Marvin Berkowitz at the University of Missouri, St. Louis. And they concluded that SECTE-related education works when implemented broadly and with high fidelity of implementation. And it has the potential for a very wide-ranging impact. And it was found that effective SECDE programs would include several key components, and I've listed them here. They include direct teaching strategies, so about character and ethics, and interactive teaching and learning strategies, things such as class meetings, cooperative learning, and cross-age initiatives, for example. Also, classroom management strategies and an integration of the SECDE curriculum into the main core curriculum, and also modeling and mentoring, professional development to try to increase program implementation. And as I mentioned before, the more effective programs would include both the family component and a community component. And also, some effective programs included community service, where students were encouraged to get involved in the community and do service activities. So based on the research findings, programs should be comprehensive and systematically change classrooms and the entire school. So we're talking about changing overall school climate. And again, one example of an effective SECDE program is positive action. And just a real brief overview of positive action. The total time students are exposed to the program during a 35-week academic year is approximately 35 hours. So this relatively is a fairly intensive program, and lessons cover 6 main units on topics related to self-concept, so the relationships of thoughts, feelings, and actions, and then also physical and intellectual actions, things such as hygiene and nutrition, and social-emotional actions, as well as getting along with others and being honest with yourself and others, and continuous self-improvement. So the idea of there's always room to improve. And importantly, although negative behaviors such as substance use and violence are mentioned in the curriculum, they are not a main focus anywhere in the curriculum, and are used only as example behaviors, and sexual activity is not mentioned at all in the program. Again, this is the elementary age curriculum. So the underlying idea of the program is represented by this positive action circle, where thoughts lead to actions, which then lead to positive feelings, and then back to positive thoughts. And the program comes with several key program materials. There's a classroom curriculum, a school-wide curriculum for the school administration to become involved. There's a family kit that families would use at home to implement and encourage the use of the program, and that would mirror the 6 units included in the school curriculum. And then also a community component to the program, where a positive action committee would be formed. And this is just an example of the instructor's kit. It utilizes an interactive approach where teachers are encouraging students to ask questions, and students interact with each other through different activities, and including role plays. And an example of positive action in the classroom, and this is just an example of words of the week that are used, where positive words are taught to students. There's an example in the picture of this ICU box, where kids are encouraged to write down if they see fellow classmates participating in positive activities. So overall, the prior research on positive action has examined the program's effects on academic achievement and negative behaviors, such as substance use and violent behaviors. And recently, there was in 2009, there was an article published in the American Journal of Public Health where Michael Beetson and colleagues examined the preventative effects of PA on rates of student self-report and teacher reports of student substance use, violence, and voluntary sexual activity. So the present research builds upon that published study and is the first study to examine how positive action works, or a mechanism of how the program works. So real briefly, the Positive Action Hawaii trial was a matched paired cluster randomized control trial, and it was conducted during the 2002 through 3 to 2005 through 6 school years. And schools were matched based on different school report card data, and those matched pairs were then randomized to either treatment or control conditions. And importantly, due to the Institutional Review Board requirements for the Positive Action Hawaii trial, students must have entered the fifth grade to be eligible to answer questions related to substance use, violent behaviors, and sexual activities. Thus, data from the final wave of this longitudinal study are used in the present research. And at baseline, there were no significant differences between treatment and control schools on any of the school report card index data. And the measures we used here, the mediator was positive academic behavior, so that included five different items. They're listed here: working hard in school, setting goals, managing time wisely, and trying to be their best and solving problems well. And they were asked to respond on a scale of 1 to 4, 1 being none of the time and 4 being all of the time. And again, teachers were asked similar questions. And the negative behaviors, there were 5 items related to substance use that asked questions related to tobacco use, alcohol use, and illicit substance use, 5 questions related to violent behaviors, and 1 item related to voluntary sexual activity. And teachers were asked similar questions, although they were not asked a question related to the student's sexual activity. And for the outcome variables, the negative behaviors, they were rare activities as expected, and a dichotomous outcome, yes or no, for each of these outcomes, substance use, for example, was used and summed to create a count variable. So how many of the 5 items did the student endorse, for example, for substance use? And I'll go through this briefly. I imagine most of you are familiar with this, but to get the terminology straight for the current study, what we looked at was mediation. And the first model is just the simplest model where a predictor, the intervention, for example, influences an outcome. Model 2 includes a mediator, and the path from the intervention to the outcome, C prime, includes an adjustment for the inclusion of that mediator. And we have that as a direct effect, and then the path A and path B would be the indirect effect. And this is our final model. You can see there is a positive academic behavior latent variable with these different outcomes, the violent behavior and substance use count outcomes, and sexual activity dichotomous outcomes. And because of the rare behavior for these outcomes, the variance was much greater than the mean, and we adjusted for that by using a negative binomial model estimated in M plus. So the final results here, you can see at the bottom of the table the direct effect, so the PA intervention on positive academic behavior. The measurement model for this overall final model, the fit was very good, and with the latent positive behavior variable, it indicated that students attending positive action schools reported significantly greater positive behavior, and boys performed fewer positive behaviors than girls. I'll go through this rather quickly. For an example, for a substance use, if you look at the top row, the PA intervention on substance use, without taking the mediator into account, being in the PA intervention decreased the expected rate of student self-report substance use by a factor of 0.38. So this, in other words, the intervention decreased the expected count of substance use by nearly 62%. And the direct effect, if you look at the PA intervention on substance use, that's with the inclusion of the mediator, being in the PA intervention decreased the expected rate of substance use by a factor of 0.77. And importantly here, you can see when the mediator is included, that previously direct effect from PA intervention to substance use, that significance is no longer there. So we're talking about complete mediation here. And the same goes for violent behavior. If you look at the path from the PA intervention to violent behavior, there is a marginally significant effect, which this previous significant effect of PA intervention on violent behavior is reduced, and is another example of complete mediation, whereas the teacher reported model is an example of partial mediation. And again, the similar story with sexual activity, where there is a partial mediation there. So real briefly, because I'm out of time, the program was effective at reducing negative behaviors and increasing positive behaviors, and there was either complete or partial mediation that occurred. And it was the first study really at looking how this program worked. And just real briefly, the limitations. One is that the data was collected only during the fifth grade, so with this cross-sectional study, we need to be careful when implying causal inference. And there was only one item for sexual activity, and generalizability is limited because of the age of students. The school characteristics and culture are different in Hawaii than other places, and again, the study can only be generalizable to schools willing to conduct such a program. So despite these limitations, though, the intervention reduced negative behaviors without including detailed instruction time for them, and overall a positive youth development perspective was supported with its focus on the strength of youth and their positive behaviors. So thank you for your time.
Thank you so much, Mr. Snyder. I would like to thank all of our presenters today. They each did a wonderful job. I'd also like to thank the audience for sticking with us this late in the day. And I'd like to invite the presenters up to the stage, please. We're just a few minutes over time, so we have about 10 minutes left for questions. So if you guys want to come on up, take a seat.
Sorry, I had to go through that quickly with the committee. Oh. Yeah, it was very surprising. Again, this they were relatively rare behaviors. I think you asked about the violent behaviors. They were rather disturbing questions, whether, for example, a student carried a knife or a razor and or threatened to hit or hurt someone. And overall, the majority of students reported zero. So between on the different outcomes, between, I believe it was around 60 to 80% of the students weren't reporting that. So we're talking about a reduction in those students that did report that. And the sexual activity question, there was only one, which is a rather large limitation. And that was querying lifetime sexual activity, whether they voluntarily agreed to I believe it was a sexual act. I can't quite recall off the top of my head if it was defined as intercourse, but I could get back to you on that. The substance use items were from the Monitoring the Future survey and the Abanaya project, and they were items just asking about lifetime substance use. So if a student had ever consumed alcohol or smoked a cigarette or for illicit drugs, tried marijuana, cocaine, or even heroin. The sample size in this study, I believe it was was around 1,800 students.
Just following up on that, did the definition of violent behavior differentiate between aggressive behavior and violent behavior in terms of criteria?
Yeah, I don't believe there was any differentiation between those two. They would both be construed as violent, and again, the count would add up those five different behaviors, so you would have a range from zero to five. Yeah.
This is kind of a question for the panel. It seems like there are a few different methodologies that were used in terms of like piloting the methods for the intervention at one school or at a small kind of sample size versus doing more large scale study like with NSA schools. I mean, it seems to be like a pilot study would be, first of all, you could kind of sort out the intricacies of like executing the intervention at a specific school and adapt it to school culture and communication methods. But then like a large study, you would be able to, spread a model across a lot of different schools. So I guess my question is, how do you decide which kind of study to run? And then which kind of study like more effectively produces produces more effective public health intervention?
I'll take a shot. It's a good question. I didn't mean to make it sound that way. I know in our work, not just with SunSafe Schools, but with all the intervention work that we've done, I mean, it's typically a combination of both. Even in a presentation like this, we might not mention all of the sub-studies that get done. Some could be as simple as a few one-on-one interviews with key people. It could be gaining input from advisory committees. I know that we did quite a lot of that with SunSafe Schools. We had some sub-studies around the development of the measurement tool, but in a very large intervention, it would be fairly common for us to do a small-scale pilot on at least a portion of the intervention. So I think it's just for different functions. It depends on what your need is. You know, if you're working in an area that you've worked in substantially, you have a lot of your outcome measurement, your mediational assessment well-developed with good, you know, validated, reliable and valid instruments. You know, maybe using an intervention approach that you've used substantially before, you may have a fairly limited number of pilot studies. Or if it's a more novel effort, the pilot effort might be much, much larger. So I think it's very much in response to the need based on the work you're doing. Is it new? You know, how well developed is the measurement you're using? Is it a totally new intervention approach for you? I think there's a lot that goes into that decision making. I don't see it as a one or the other proposition. I mean, you know, a lot of this is linked to funding too, clearly. I mean, you can only do as much as you have resources to do. And I think it'd be a rare, at least in intervention, it'd be a rare intervention study where you didn't feel like you wish you could do one more pilot before you really put it all on the line with the main intervention. So I think they go hand in glove.